It is my joy to welcome you to this commencement service for Boyce College. This is a day that really has been long anticipated. It is a day that really brings us together in the spirit of hope and a reflection on times past. There are so many gathered here in this room, not only the graduates who are about to receive their degrees, or so they still hope, but also family members, parents, friends, brothers and sisters. It really is one of those very unusual ceremonies that marks a significant transition in life. We're really not sure what to do with it. We call it commencement, which by its very terminology refers to a beginning, but we really also recognize that this is an end. It's one of those occasions that draws forth formality. We don't dress like this every day. But it also brings forth just a sense of joy and anticipation. We know that it is right to gather together like this. We don't just ask the students to come by an office and give them a piece of paper. Something needs to be observed. Some occasion needs to help focus our thoughts. And there are so many thoughts. The graduates are here with their thoughts, looking backward and forward. For some of them, it is the last time they will be together. And they've been together for 4 years. They've learned together and lived together, experienced so many things together. For parents, it's also a significant transition. This marks one of those signal, monumental events in the life of a young person and his and her parents. And a family. So what do we say? Former Senate Majority Leader Robert Dole said that the role of a commencement speaker is akin to that of a corpse at a funeral. They can't have it without you, but no one expects you to say very much. But we do want to say something. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy in his first epistle in chapter 4, says this: "Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." I have to tell you this morning that I wonder what someone in a secular institution would say on an event like this. This is not a secular institution. This is a Christian institution that is accountable to the Christian church. This is a Christian institution that stands unapologetically for Christian truth. This is a Christian institution that exists for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a Christian institution that serves under the lordship of Christ on behalf of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are a Christian institution, there are two very, very important dimensions to what brings us here that are missing in a secular observance. First of all, the profound truth of the lordship of Jesus Christ. And this is an eschatological reality. In other words, we are here today in light of eternity. Frankly, if all we had to look forward to at this occasion was the earthly lives of these graduates, this would be a very different occasion. But with eternity in view, we are here to celebrate and to commemorate what God is going to do through these graduates for His kingdom that will last forever. But we are also here because we realize that these graduates are not about themselves. We live in a society that is mostly focused on the importance of the self. And yet we are those who the Apostle Paul calls slaves, servants of Christ. The school from which these graduates are about to graduate is a school for the training of Christian leaders, ministers, and missionaries. You know, I guess if I were a secular college president speaking to a secular group of college graduates, I would just have to say, go out and make a lot of money and try not to go to jail. That last part is never irrelevant. Except, I'm tempted to say, I want to have to come bail you out for the cause of the gospel. It may well be that you will be called to be imprisoned for the sake of Christ. And there will be glory in that. It may be that some of you will be called upon to die for the cause of Christ. And there will be glory in that. Because we do have the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the call of Christian service and the reality of the church undergirding all that we do here. This brings a certain gravity to our discussion. The relationship between this school and these students is different than in most other institutions. We're concerned not only with their hearts and with their minds, but with their souls. That is true also for this faculty. I'm sure that in any teacher-student relationship, there is always this sense of loss and parting. I want you parents to know that we consider your investment of these students in us to be a precious stewardship. We have come not only to know them and to teach them, but to love them. And I would not have known until for some years I had been in this place how difficult it is to see them go. And yet go they must. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, was trying to pour himself into his young protege. He was in so many ways Timothy's teacher. Writing to Timothy here in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, beginning in verse 14, Paul exhorts Timothy, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery." Timothy was called to preach. We know that he served as pastor of the church in Thessalonica. He was a man who served the church as one who would preach the word. Paul said, in season and out of season. Paul's exhortations to Timothy are absolutely precious. They are often in the form of commands. He is to pay close attention to himself and to his teaching. He is to guard that which has been entrusted to him. He is to retain the standard of sound words. He is to entrust unto others that which has been entrusted to him. He is to fight the good fight of faith, to take hold of the eternal life to which he was called and to which he made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. There are no words adequate for this. No commencement address of whatever length could say everything on our hearts and everything on our minds that we would wish, first of all, to address to these graduates and also to those who are gathered here with them. I think there could be no better words, though, in summary, than what Paul writes to Timothy. Celebrate the gift within you. Do not neglect the gift within you. Exercise the gift within you. To the graduates, I would simply remind you this morning that so much has been poured into you and you have poured so much of your lives into this experience, not just so that you can have a degree to hang on the wall and a piece of paper that commemorates the experience, but so that you would be more faithful servants, ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ and of His church. Do not neglect this spiritual gift. Verse 15 speaks with great honesty. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. What you are now commencing is whatever comes after this. How is that for profundity? We don't know what exactly comes after this for each of you. And in all honesty, you have no idea what comes after this. You may have some idea what comes immediately after this, but let me just tell you in advance, there is a whole lot of after this, after this. But we do know this. We are called at all times to take pains to exercise the spiritual gift that is given to us, to fulfill our calling. Throughout our lives, no matter what comes after this and after that, we are to be absorbed in these things, and we are to be such, and to live such, and to teach such, that our progress will be evident to all. And then Paul closes this passage by saying, pay close attention to yourself. and to your teaching, to your doctrine. Pay close attention to yourself, because the gospel, in terms of its credibility in the minds and in the lives of many people, is riding on you. Pay heed to yourself, because so much has been invested in you. Pay close attention to yourself, because we are called to be faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian's self-watch is so important here. Pay heed. Pay close attention. My friend C.J. Mahaney, recently speaking from this passage, said rightly, you can't pay close attention to yourself by yourself. You can't watch yourself by yourself. And that is true. We need fellow believers in the fellowship of the local church who will help us to watch ourselves. You're graduating, looking at the next chapter in your lives. That's right. It's natural. It's the right time. But pay close attention to yourselves and to your teaching. The whole purpose of this institution is to fulfill that which Paul instructed Timothy and presented to him as a challenge in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This unbroken succession of faithful teaching. You now step into this succession. You have been taught, now you will teach. Fulfill your calling to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in whatever form that calling may come, in whatever shape that calling may take, teach faithfully. Pay heed to your doctrine. May there never be a graduate of this institution that would insult the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May there never be a graduate of this college who would teach anything other than the inerrant and infallible Word of God. May there never be a graduate of this college who would allow that there could be salvation in any name other than that of the Lord Jesus Christ. May there never be a graduate of this college who would blemish the gospel by accommodating it to modern thought. May there never be a graduate of this college who would fail to pay heed to the doctrine. Stewardship means that we are entrusted with much and accountable for much and expected of much. It isn't fair to look to this generation and say that the future of Christianity, humanly speaking, is riding on your shoulders. It isn't fair, but it is true. God is sovereign over His church. Christ reigns throughout the entire cosmos. And to the glory of God, a baton is being passed. A stewardship is being granted. An assignment is being given. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. Take pains with these things. Not only today, but for the rest of your lives, be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you and watch you and follow you and see God's glory in you. Let us pray. Our Father, so much has been given. So much has been entrusted. None of us is worthy of this stewardship. Yet you have called us to be earthen vessels, to carry the gospel, the word, the truth to the nations. May we see in this class your glory, and may we rejoice in it. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.